So we are fortunate to have this place, Madhav Gopal Prabhu, to enlighten all of us. Anyway, but we will very soon know who is Hamsa, who is Makkah. His speciality, one of his specialities is Bhagavad Gita, and he has written, it's for whom? For children, he has written. It's complete, right?
But it's kind of story for
In the form of a story, Bhagavad Gita, written in the form of stories for children. चार पांच साल से सो वी आर इन द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर ऑफ भगवद गीता ध्यान योग. आवर्स इज अ वेरी लेड बैक पेस, ऑलमोस्ट लाइक 100 आवर्स वी हैव कंप्लीटेड एंड वी आर स्टिल इन द सिक्स्थ चैप्टर ऑन नॉट डेप बट Sort of more of a discussion-oriented system that we have here. So, I'll just do a quick recap of what we have seen till now for those who are from the who have lost some classes. So, Krishna is describing here in the fifth chapter. Krishna described that even though one may have the qualities of accepting sannyas, but still he says it is safe to continue to perform Nishkama Karma Yoga, for if by chance some impressions undeleted impressions pop up, one would still have the chance to actually wipe it out by performing Nishkama Karma Yoga. But if one has taken up to sannyas and later realizes that there are still some undeleted impressions, then he will have to give up that sannyas, accept the Nishkama Karma Yoga, which is considered as a social stigma. And he says that, he mentions that, don't think that after achieving the status of Nirdvandvata, which is like a culmination of all qualities of a sannyasi, even after reaching or obtaining those qualities, don't think that your success is in giving up your prescribed duty. Your success is in giving up the attachment to enjoying the fruits of your activities. So therefore, being detached from the fruits, if you continue your prescribed duties, you will still get the same liberation that you aspire to achieve by practicing Jnana Yoga. So he says, therefore, which very much gels in with our understanding, the Shastric quotation which Prabhupada quotes many times, Ashwamedam Gavalambam Sanyasam Palapaitrakam Devarena Sutotpatti Kalau Pancha Vivarjaya. So one of the things is Karma Sanyas, because of the risk involved in either a lack of judgment and also the social stigma involved in if one gives it up, when one realizes that my heart is not completely clean, you know. For a sannyasi, if he goes back to performing his prescribed duties, then it is a fall down. And then towards the end of fifth chapter, Krishna hinted about Ashtanga Yoga. He said, this liberation which can be achieved by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga and also could be achieved by practice of Jnana Yoga can also be achieved by practice of Nishkama Karma Yoga. Ashtanga Yoga. So then in the sixth chapter he elaborates on this path of Ashtanga Yoga. He says, what is sannyas is the same as yoga, अनाश्रित कर्म फलम कार्यम कर्म करो यह ससन्यासी च योगी च न निराग्ने न चाक्रिय. Either this Ashtanga Yoga or what is called as sannyas is not necessarily characterized by non-performance of prescribed duties, rather it is characterized by anashrita karma phalam, not having attachment to enjoying the fruits of one's prescribed duties. So that is the clear-cut symptom of a person who is qualified for yoga and sannyas. Actually, yam sannyasam iti prahur yogam tam viddhi pandav. Nahi asanyasta sankalpo yogo yogi bhavati kaschan. He says, actually there is no difference between sannyas and yoga. Because sannyas means, literally it means one who has given up his prescribed duty. And yoga means yoga chitta vritti nirodha. So, he says that both are non-different. Because only if the chitta vritti has stopped, can one give up the external prescribed duties. So therefore, one being the cause, the other being the effect. The cause being non-different from effect, therefore the yoga is non-different from sannyas. So chitta vritti nirodha means, the function of chitta is awareness of material stimulus. So chitta vritti nirodha means, when the chitta is no longer responding to material stimulus and is responding only to the self or the paramatma, then that is called achievement of yoga or samadhi. Yoga chitta vritti nirodha. So he says that therefore there is no difference between yoga and sannyas. Both are the same, one being the cause, other being the effect. And then he says this yoga has two stages. Adi rukshor munir yogam karma karana muchyate yoga rudasya tasyeva shamak karana muchyate. This yoga has two stages, yoga rurukshu and yoga ruda. At the yoga rurukshu stage, success is through performance of prescribed duties. And at the stage of yoga ruda, success is through giving up the prescribed duties.
Can you say that yoga rurukshu is like mainly like niyama niyama, mainly focus on niyama niyama.
Till dharana.
And then dhana samadhi comes in yoga ruda.
Yoga ruda. Yeah.
That's correct.
Correct. So, the initial stages are characterized by yama niyama, and all of it will be accompanied by performance of his prescribed duties, varna, varna dharma. He is not allowed to give up his varna dharma till he crosses dharana.
That comes in yama niyama, what to do and what not to do, varna, I mean, yama, prescribed duties.
Prescribed duties, yama niyama is more of yoga, is more of, you know, the basic lifestyle that is conducive for
yoga.
Practice of yoga. And apart from that, he has to perform his varna dharma also. So he cannot give it up. So arurukshor munir yogam karma karana mukshati. So why? Because the next verse he says, yada hine na indriyarteshu na karma swanushajyate sarva sankalpa sanyasi yoga rudastha dochate. Who is qualified for yoga ruda? Because we should know at what stage the prescribed duties can be given up. He says, that person whose heart is completely clear of all impressions, material impressions, he is qualified to be a yoga ruda. He can give up the prescribed duties. So, therefore, and what is the means to wipe out the impressions?
Nishkama karma.
So nishkama karma should not be given up till the impressions are wiped out completely from the heart. At that stage one can start either jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga. But of course, for, yeah.
Jnana yoga, this is like having the atma anatma vivek,
yeah.
One is seen and no separate from
body.
And finally, it seems like jnana yoga final process is also similar to ashtanga yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's like the jnani will merge the water element into fire, fire into air. So it's like kind of he's doing
the destination is same, but one difference is that for the Ashtanga Yogi, because of his additional realization of the Paramatma feature also, he will, it is mentioned that the Jnana Yogi achieves Brahma Bhuta stage, whereas the Ashtanga Yogi achieves the Brahma Samsparsha stage, which is higher, where realization of the Paramatma feature is also there, which is described, even though it is merging in the impersonal Brahman, but in the impersonal Brahman also there are gradations. The Brahma Bhuta stage is one which a Jnana Yogi achieves, and the Brahma Samsparsha stage is that which the Ashtanga Yogi achieves.
So that is like Jivan Mukta stage?
Yeah, both are Jivan Muktas.
I mean, lower stage of, I mean, even before attaining Brahma Bhuta, one becomes Jivan Mukta.
More or less here, Brahma Bhuta and Jivan Mukta are sort of mentioned to be the same. Yeah.
Brahma Samsparsha
is higher.
Asukena
Brahma Samsparsham Atyantam Sukham Ashnate. So, Yadahi Nendriyarteshu Nakarma Sanushadya. So, this is a Yoga Ruda. So, only at such a stage can one give up prescribed duties. So, in this regard, we discuss actually every yoga, whether it is Jnana, Ashtanga, or Bhakti, has this Yoga Rurukshu and Yoga Ruda. And at the Yoga Rurukshu stage, one has to perform his prescribed duties. So even in Bhakti Yoga, in the initial stage, when one's Shraddha is not steady, one is still recommended to perform his, not give up his prescribed duties. Tavat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata makkata shravanadavva Shraddha yavanna jayate. But there is a slight difference between the Jnana Ashtanga and Bhakti Yoga, because in Jnana Ashtanga Yogas, the Yoga Ruda stage is characterized by complete purification of heart. Absolutely no material impressions, trace. But in the case of Bhakti Yoga, the stage at which you give up the prescribed duties is for you, the parameter is, have you developed the Shraddha? Even though the heart may be filled with material impressions, but that is not a, what do you call it, it's not an obstacle. So one can still progress further. So that's what he says, that then he continues and he says, so therefore the pivot in this whole practice is the mind, because mind is the repository of all impressions. Uddharedatmanatmanam natmanam avasadayat atmaiva hi atmana bandhur atmaiva ripuratmanah. One can elevate oneself in the spiritual path using the mind by accumulating favorable impressions and by not accessing unfavorable impressions. Or one can degrade oneself by accessing the unfavorable impressions and not accumulating favorable impressions. So therefore, Banduratmatmanastasya yenatmai vatmanajitaha anatmanastu shatrutve vartetatmai vashatruvate. Therefore, mind is the friend of that person who has managed to control it, which means he can choose what impressions I want to accumulate, and he can choose not to access the unfavorable impressions. Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita shitoshna sukadukkechu tatamana apamanam. So for such a person who has managed to control his mind and is devoid of any attachment to enjoying the fruits, for him, Atma Param Samahita. This is how Baldev Devotion and Vishnu Devada could translate. Atma, the soul or the mind, attains Param Samahita, means Samadhi. At which stage, Shita Ushna Sukha Dukkha Tata Mana Apamanayam. At such a stage, the mind doesn't waver from that samadhi due to dualities on the platform of senses, mind and false ego. Shita Ushna, dualities on the platform of senses. Sukha Dukkha, dualities on the platform of mind. And Mana Apamana, dualities on the platform of ego.
And then it says Paramatma, usually translated as he attains
The Paramatma, vision of Paramatma. Yeah. So then he says, ज्ञान विज्ञान तृप्तात्मा कूटस्थो विजितेन्द्रिय युक्त इति उच्यते योगी समलोष्ट्राश्म कांचन एंड सच या योगा रोड सो ही सेज दैट ज्ञान विज्ञान तृप्तात्मा सच अ पर्सन इज कंप्लीटली सैटिस्फाइड विद द नॉलेज अक्यूमुलेटेड थ्रू स्क्रिप्चर्स एंड द रियलाइजेशन दैट ही गेट्स कूटस्थ एंड दिस स्टेज ऑफ अ योगा रोड इज एन इरिवर्सिबल स्टेज. One has reached the yoga roda. It's not that for some time he feels like that and that other parts of the day he is attracted to the sense objects. Kutastha, it's a steady stage. Vijitendriya, he has controlled the senses. Yukta iti uchyate yogi, such a person is certainly understood to have reached the yoga roda stage. Sama loshtrashma kanchana, he is equipoised with respect to a very worthy material object or a not so worthy material object. Even higher stage of yoga roda is suhran mitrari udasina madhyastha dvesha bandhushu sadhu shopi chapateshu samabuddhir vishishyate. So such a person is equipoised when it comes to even people who have a variegated disposition towards him. Suhrit means one who is a genuine well-wisher. Mitra is a friend. Ari is one who has so many, one who is an enemy. Udasina means when two people are having a conflict, he just walks past as if you don't exist. Madhyastha is one who tries to mediate. Dveshya is one who has such qualities which are totally incompatible with your nature. Therefore, he is fit to be hated. Dveshya. Bandushu, relatives. Sadhushu apicha papeshu, pious or impious person. Samabuddhi, he is equal. He looks at them equally. So, that person is who has an equal disposition towards all of them is still better than that person who can see sama loshtrashma kanchana, because this is still more difficult to have similar disposition towards people who have a variegated attitude towards you. Then he starts discussing about the practice of such a yogi. What are his practices? Yogi yunjita satatam atmanam rahasi sthitah ekaki yatra chittatma nirashara parigraha. Such a person, he tries to go to seclusion and tries to absorb his mind in samadhi, having controlled his mind, body and senses, and he has no desire to enjoy the sense objects and he has no possessiveness. And how does he choose his place? Chuchau deshe pratishtapya stiram madhanam atmana na ati uchritam na ati nicham chailajana kushottaram. You know, he very stable place with kushagras, deer skin and a soft cloth. Tatra ekagram manakritva yata chittendriya kriya upavishyasane yunjad yogam atma vishuddhaya. So, situating himself there and focusing his mind on the atma, he performs this yoga for atma vishuddhi, for purification of his consciousness. Samam kaya shirogrivam dharayan achalam stiram samprekshya nasikagram svam dishaschana valokayam. So focusing, keeping his body, neck and head straight, because you know first thing is after yama and niyama, which talk about the general lifestyle which is conducive for practice of yoga, then he has to set the posture, because mind control, for mind control posture is very vital, because only when the posture is fixed, then the breathing can be regulated, and only when the breathing is regulated can the mind be regulated. So therefore yama from the yoga point of view, and even to some extent many of these principles are sort of to a large extent applicable to our japa and other practices also. Like you can't lie down and chant. and you can't pace, you know, run and chant, you know. So posture definitely plays a significant role in sort of focusing, because the nature of mind is still there, you know. And if our breathing is very irregulated, if you have noticed, if you have blocked nose, to focus on anything becomes very difficult, because your, you know, regular breathing, you have to breathe through your mouth, which is not so natural for us. So when the nose is blocked or things like that, it becomes very difficult to focus, because the breathing is very irregulated and the mind becomes, you know, there is lack of focus. So prashantatma vigata bihi brahmachari vrate stita manasanyamya machitto yukta asita matpara. So following the vows of brahmacharya, prashantatma, being with a peaceful mind and fearless, he withdraws his mind from the sense objects and focuses on the mind, on the self, machitta, and focuses on the self and the super self. Matpara, while fixing the Paramatma as the goal, I have to realize him. He fixes that as a goal. Yunjan evam sadatmanam yogi niyatamanasa sukena shantim nirvana paramam matsamstam adigacchati. Such a person, yunjan evam sada, when he thus engages constantly in such practices, yogi niyatamanasa, that yogi who has managed to control his mind, atmanajitaha, who has controlled his mind, shantim nirvana paramam matsamstam adigacchati. He is certainly guaranteed of achieving liberation when he continues in this path. But in this path, regulation is very vital. Natyashnatastu yogosti nachaikantam anashnataha nachati swapnashilasya jagrato naivacharjuna. So this yoga cannot become successful if one eats too much or eats too less, sleeps too much or sleeps too less.
Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu
yukta swapnava bodhasya yogo bhavati dukkaha. If one's eating yukta ahara and is regulated, yukta vihara, Krishna Devadatta Guru says, means walking, vihara. It is if one's, or recreation. Recreation means for devotees, it is something that you like to do in amongst devotional activities. That which you like, that which is not prescribed, but which is not outside the realm of devotional practice, which you want, which you like to do in your free time. Yukta ahara, yukta vihara, yukta cheshta. When the engagement of the karmendriyas and jnanendriyas is also regulated. Yukta swapna, yukna, yukta avabodha. When the sleeping is regulated and the waking up is regulated, then yogo bhavati dukkaha. Such a yoga can destroy material miseries, not otherwise.
For a yogi, what would vihara mean?
Walking.
Yeah, walking.
That's what Krishna Chaitanya says. So, or for a yogi, vihar would also mean, I'm guessing, because Kapiladeva section, he talks about Vaikuntha Leela Abhidhyanam, you know, meditating on the pastimes of the Lord in Vaikuntha, because they are very pleasing to the heart. It's like a vihar for him, you know, recreation in one sense, which is within the realm of practice of Ashtanga Yoga. So, yoga bhavati dukkaha. Such a yoga destroys material miseries, not otherwise. So, we are discussing in this regard that the key to move from anishtita bhajan to nishta is actually regulation. Rising above the platform of likes and dislikes to the platform of dutiful performance, whether we like it or not. So that is the key to move from anishtita bhajan to the stage of nishta. So then when such a steady practice, dutiful steady practice is practiced over a long time, then Krishna rewards that person by giving him ruchi, attraction to the process. He would start liking the same process. Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Kata. Like that.
Yada viniyatam chittam atman yeva vatishtate nispruha sarvakamebhyo yuktayiti uchyate tada.
So, when in this way, through a regulated practice, when he fixes the mind on the self alone, nispruha sarvakamebhyo, being free from the desire to enjoy any other sense object, then yuktayiti uchyate tada. He certainly is said to be perfect, or yes, he is said to have reached the Yoga Ruda stage. And how would you compare the consciousness of such a person? He says, yata dipo nivatasto ningate sopamasmata yogino yata chittasya yunjato yogamasmana.
His consciousness can be compared to the flame of a lamp in a windless place. It doesn't waver or move at all. Indicating that this state, steadiness. Steadiness is the mark of a Yoga Ruda. Steady practice, whatever comes.
And further, in the next four verses, further qualities are described.
Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra uparamate chittam. Chittam is the first in the whole act of cognition. Chitta is the first. It becomes aware of the material stimulus. So, yoga chitta vritti nirodha means stopping the cognition of material objects at the first stage only. So, which means training the chitta to not respond to material stimulus and giving it, training it to respond to spiritual stimulus. How does he achieve this stage? Yoga sevaya, by such a practice of Ashtanga Yoga.
Yatra chayvatman atmanam pashyan. And at this stage, he is able to see the Paramatma within his heart, atmani tushyati, and he is completely satisfied with that vision of Atma and Paramatma.
Sukam atyantikam yattad buddhigrahyam atindriyam. And this stage of bliss, this stage is very blissful. Sukam atyantikam, lot of, it's a very blissful stage, buddhigrahyam, but it is not understandable, such a bliss is not understandable for material senses. Buddhigrahyam means it is approachable by spiritual intelligence. Atindriyam, it is transcendental to the material senses. Buddhigrahyam atindriyam.
Veti yatrana chaivayam sthitas chalati tatvatah. And understand that once he reaches this stage, he doesn't move from this stage, which was mentioned already before. Steady.
Yam labdva chaparam labam manyate nadikam tatah.
So having reached this stage, he thinks that whatever comes of its own accord to maintain my body and soul together is all that I need to actually practice my yoga. Nothing else.
Yasmin stito na gurunapi dukkena vichalyate.
Situated in this stage, he is not at all affected by even the most distressful material circumstances.
Tam vidya dukkha sanyoga viyogam yoga samvitam.
Understand that this state of dukkha sanyoga viyogam, a state of being separated from all misery, yoga samgitam, is called yoga, or here yoga means samadhi. Understand that this stage is called samadhi. But how to attain this stage?
Sa nischayena yoktavyo yogo anirvinna chetasa.
One has to approach this path. To achieve this stage will be very difficult. Determination is a very key aspect.
Nishchayena yoktavyo. He should engage himself with great determination.
Anirvinna chetasa. And when he falters and falls down, he should not get depressed. He should pick himself up and move ahead. So he says that these two qualities are very important for one at the stage of Yoga Rurukshu, aspiring to reach the Yoga Ruda stage. So now, starting from this line, the injunctions for a Yoga Rurukshu is given. Determination and saving oneself from the depressed attitude. Like the other day, Radhesham Prabhu was mentioning. Four attitudes which we have to protect ourselves from. What do you call that?
Pessimism, negativity,
and comfort zone. One has to, complacent attitude, one has to get out of the comfort zone. Pessimism, negativity, and perceptions. So, perceived, preconceived notions. So these four things have to be, can act as very formidable obstacles in one's practice. And one of those mentalities is mentioned here is depression. Depression is pessimism. Nirse hogani. Having a low self-esteem. And negativity is perceiving that negative in others. Oh, he is plotting against me, he is thinking something against me. That is negativity. And comfort zone is, abhi jitna kar raha hun utna theek hai. Aage jate jate sab dekha jayega. So that is, and the fourth is preconceived notions. You know, without wanting to confirm our judgments or our understandings, and just whatever we understand, we... So one of the verses that I think Krishnadas Kaviraj Prabhu, in his Bhagavatam class, he chose this verse in which Prithu Maharaj is addressing his subjects. He says that, my dear subjects, please don't think that I am taking a instructing position. You don't have to think like that. He says that any person who is very eager to understand the nature of truth would present it in an assembly of knowledgeable people and evaluate, get it evaluated. So I am doing that. I am presenting my opinion. So he says, after careful consideration and thinking about it, he presents it in a knowledgeable audience and presents it to be evaluated, so that he can be sure that his thought process is right. So that is what I am doing here. Don't think that I am instructing you. Of course, he instructs and then he presents it for their evaluation. If you think, do you think this is right? In that mode he presents. So he spoke on humility. So that should be the mode of the leader. He should be humbled. He should not be fearful of you know, his subjects evaluating his authority, his judgments, his opinions. So Prithu Maharaj said, this is what I am doing. I am presenting it to you. You are all knowledgeable. You are more elevated than me. You please evaluate, and if you feel it is right, you may choose to follow. Like that. So, that is about preconceived notions, like that. So, then he says further how one progresses from Yoga Rurukshu to Yoga Ruda. He says, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kamams Tyaktva Sarvanasheshatah Manasaivendriya Gramam Viniyamya Samantatah. He says, Sankalpa Prabhavan Kamams Tyaktva Sarvanasheshatah. He consciously tries to disengage the senses from the sense objects, and he constantly endeavors to disengage the mind from the unfavorable impressions. Senses, which means wherever sense objects are there, he tries to stay away. And mind, even when sense objects are not there, can keep trying to access the vasanas, previous unfavorable impressions. So he is conscious to not push the mind in that direction too. And then, so by that mind he, and the mind gets the strength from buddhya dhriti grihitaya, that buddhi which has accepted dhriti. Dhriti means determination. With determined intelligence, means with the intelligence which has been sharpened by shastras, he tries to control his mind and senses. So this is still at a stage where the yogi still has unfavorable impressions in his heart, which means yoga rurukshu stage. But he is aspiring for the yoga ruda. But he says that in that process one has to be conscious to not let the senses access the sense objects, mind access the impressions, and one should keep sharpening one's intelligence using the shastras. Shanair shanair uparamer buddhya dhritigrihitaya. And in this way, gradually, slowly he will approach the stage of samadhi. Atma samstam manakritva nakinchit apichintayet. And after reaching that stage, he should be careful not to think of anything else. After reaching the stage of samadhi. But yato yato nischalati manaschanchalam astiram tatastato niyammetat atmanyeva vashamnayat. But then definitely he will see that his mind is running here and there. So whenever it runs, he should pull it back and fix it in the self and super self. Prashanta manasam hyenam yoginam sukamuttamam upaiti shanta rajasam brahmabhutam akalmasham. So such a person, when he fixes the mind on the soul and becomes devoid of passion and ignorance, free of desires, he directly experiences the Atma, which is called Brahma Bhutam. It's an intermediate stage. So at this stage, he has already reached the level of a Jnana Yogi, what he experiences. Okay. But then the next verse says, Yunjanevam sadatmanam yogi vigata kalmasha sukena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukam ashnute. By thus constantly experiencing the bliss of Atma, the yogi who is vigata kalmasha, by now free of all sins, sukena ashnute, very easily attains atyantam sukam, the unlimited bliss of brahma samsparsham, of experiencing the Paramatma. So this is a little higher stage, atyantam sukam.
Highest
stage which a yogi can achieve. No, here Brahma samsparsham means experiencing the Paramatma. But see, he realizes the Paramatma, but merges in the impersonal Brahman only. But within the impersonal Brahman, he experiences a higher bliss. Yeah. So in teachings of Lord Kapila, Shri Vishnu Thakur mentions this as liberation by realization of the Pratyagatma and liberation by, you mentioned in your class, the liberation by realizing the Paragatma.
Yeah,
who gives it up later or never does it also, as in the case of Jnana Yogi. Jnana Yogi also, it is mentioned in the 5th chapter that he also meditates on the Paramatma. But he says that for such a person, he has three realizations. Person who has reached the stage of samadhi. Sarvabhutastam atmanam sarvabhutani chatmani ikshate yoga yuktatma sarvatra samadarshanah. That yogi who is perfect in samadhi, he sees the Paramatma as being equal to all, sarvatra samadarshana. When he, when Paramatma as the upadrashta and anumanta offers someone the body of a snake or the body of a dog and someone else the body of a devata, he doesn't see that the Paramatma is partial. He is just.
सर्वभूतस्तमात्मानं सर्वभूतानि चात्मनि ईक्षते. He also perceives the Paramatma as the controller and the Paramatma as the resting place of all living entities. So, controller as Upadrashta and Anumanta, and resting place in the sense he empowers them with their nature, as in as Krishna, Shukadeva Goswami, in one of his prayers, he says, what is that prayer? Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi. What is that prayer? What is that prayer?
Series of prayers of last prayer.
One of the last prayers. Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsi. He says that just as the Lord entering into all the elements gives it life, similarly let him enter into the enter into my speech and give it life and decorate it. So he says that we are talking about inanimate objects, so how can you give life to inanimate objects? So it is described that giving life to inanimate objects means allowing them to act according to their dharma. Like the dharma of sugar is sweet, the dharma of salt is, it is salty. Why is sugar sweet and salt salty? Because the andantarastha paramanu jayantarastha, the Supreme Lord is there as Paramatma, that is why. So
he allows
that nature to manifest. Sugar is sweet because Paramatma is there and allowing it to act according to its nature of being sweet. Salt is salty because Paramatma is there.
You can,
you can still eat it, no problem. Just like we say, the battery is dead. What do you mean battery is dead? Battery is already dead, it's made of dead matter only. Battery is dead means it is not functioning according to its dharma. So the same way, salt is also dead, sugar is also dead if it is not showing its nature. Like you can think of something like, for example, something by just leaving it outside or something loses its nature, like spices. The elaichi, you leave it outside in sun for a few days and then it loses most of its dharma of being fragrant. Many such spices, you know, just recently, last year we didn't have Yatra. So 2 years back exactly, we had our Kartik Yatra, and after the Kartik Yatra, we had this masala ka dabba hai na, usme alag alag katori rehta hai, usme jeera, ye wo, rai wo sab rakhte. So we had kept it in the trunk. 2 saal ke baad khola, kuch masala dabba ke andar masala tha. Okay, but pura khat ban gaya tha. It had completely disintegrated into fertilizer. So it had become like that. So which means it is dead. It has lost its dharma.
But it's another dharma. No?
It has assumed another dharma. Of course, we are not critically evaluating that whole thing. But I'm talking about something losing its dharma. So like
that. Dharma is also meant to give flavoring.
The point I'm making, the new dharma is also due to Paramatma.
Correct. New dharma is also due to Paramatma. But the point is, I'm trying to explain that something can lose its nature. That's why. So then he says, Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam cha mahi pashyati tasyaham na pranashyami sachame na pranashyati. Again, he says that one who has achieved this vision of seeing me everywhere and seeing everyone in me,
For such a person, I am never lost and he is never lost to me.
Last verse he was talking about Paramatma.
Hmm. Yeah, he says, I am not Kshetragyam Chapi Mam Vidhi. Similar. Yeah. Then he says, Sarvabhuta Stitam Yomam Bhajati Ekatva Mastitaha Sarvata Vartamanapi Sayogi Mayuvartate. And then the third point he says is, if one further realizes, so one first thing he has to realize is, he has to realize that Paramatma is situated in everyone, and everything is supported by Paramatma. And the third thing is, Paramatma sees everything equally. Fourth thing that he mentions is, it is the same Paramatma. Paramatma is one, even though situated in everyone's heart, he has a realization of it. So these four realizations, if that yogi achieves, Sarvata Vartamanopi, it doesn't matter whether that yogi is still performing his prescribed duties or whatever he is doing. Apavitra Pavitova Sarvavastam Gatopiva, doesn't matter. He says that Sayogi Mai Vartate, he exists in me, which means he exists very close to me. You know, he is very close to me and I am very close to him. He experiences me really. Which means, when you are Kara Amla Kanyai, when the Amla is right on your hands, you can examine it and give a very critical elaboration on how an Amla looks, how it tastes and everything. So similarly, he says that this person really understands me, Mai Vartate, which means very close, he has really understood me. To really understand Paramatma means what? To realize that the Paramatma is impartial, the Paramatma is present in everyone's heart, that the Paramatma is giving that shelter or supporting everything, living or non-living. And the fourth is that this Paramatma, even though existing
same
in all living entities, one only. Ekatvam, bhajati ekatvam astita.
He is mentioned here fourth.
Yeah, the fourth. So when one realizes these four, and in the Kapiladev section, in the 28th chapter, it is described that the last section is meant for Yoga Rurukshus. They have to cultivate it. While a person, so any realization starts with knowledge. So when you start out with the wrong understanding, one will come to wrong realizations. So here, Kapiladev in the last section of the 28th chapter, Ashtanga Yoga, he says, a practicing yogi, one at the stage of Yoga Rurukshu, has to cultivate this understanding. He has to start with the right understanding so that he can end up with the right realizations when he reaches the stage of Yoga Ruda.
What means right understanding?
These four.
But he does not have this understanding.
Understanding means, like bhakti is supremely blissful. Theoretical understanding and experience hai kya? At least aap jab sadhana bhakt te tab te kya? So the same thing. See, we also have understanding of so many things, but we do not have realization. So the same way of Ashtanga Yogi also, while in his Yoga Rurukshu stage, he has understanding. He starts out with some understanding, and eventually it's by his yoga sevaya, it manifests in the form of
Nishkam Karma Yoga. Doesn't have realization of jnana. It starts with understanding of jnana.
Yeah.
And then he realizes it
later.
It's like in a seed form, it's there, then it
manifests
later.
Yeah.
So you begin with right understanding.
Why I was asking was, like, Divya Gyan is a prakashito. Point I was that even though one may be literate, he does not have jnana, but just practice.
See,
he can
illiteracy has nothing to do. See, one can always hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So illiteracy does
not. In the sense, he may not know, but
have
just
the
practicing it will give that realization. And
but one can also practice it by assuming that I am the body, na?
Mm-hmm.
So he has started out with a
with a wrong premise. So based on and then guided by the modes, he may come to wrong realizations also. So therefore, see, here we are talking about guidance, guided. Therefore, guided tour is needed. Otherwise, as Anuttama Prabhu was mentioning this morning,
Goshala.
I would have landed up in Goshala. So, like
what
that.
He is mentioning is another aspect actually, that means why only the South Indian Brahmana who live in all the Bhagavad Gita. So, but the thing is, it's not that like being illiterate doesn't mean that, you know, he doesn't know about that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, he doesn't know that Guru is the one who will lead him to Krishna. He has that basic understanding, in a sense.
He may not be
able
to
read.
Yeah.
Sanskrit, no Sanskrit or whatever. Like, you know, but
yeah.
He basically is.
Hey, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, he sent someone to a gardener. I think when Bon Maharaj or someone, the what whom you are telling is he is different. That's a politician, Madan Mohan Malviya. He sends him to a person who washes. Or I think when Bon Maharaj, when he comes and meets, I think someone, he sends him to the gardener. And the gardener was like, really, he was like very person who would just do his gardening job. But then when he spoke, and then he says that, Iha esya hare dase karmana. Sevan mukhe hi jihvadav, swayamaya vasvurushteja. So he mentions that. But definitely he would have received it, not just by service, but by Shravan Seva also, you would regularly hear from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
For Nitya Siddhartha, I am just reading that. The Gopas, they went to bet from India, Yagi Brahmanas. So Gopas are usually considered illiterate. Like,
yeah.
And they are telling them that now you have, before the Pashu Samstam has been done, so now even if anybody reads,
It
doesn't
contaminate.
So that is a high knowledge actually. You know? That Gopas are not supposed to have such knowledge, which, you know, Brahmanas could really shock them in a sense. So then Chakravarti Pal mentioned that one who is, because they are Nitya Parshadas, all knowledge is given to them.
Correct. So then, finally, he says, Atmopamyena sarvatra samam pashyati yo arjuna sukam va yadiva dukkam sayogi paramo mata. This was the theme of today's class. So he says that Atmopamyena sarvatra, the topmost amongst all these yogis is one who is sensitive, one who sees others' distress and happiness as his own. When he sees that, when he observes that, when this person smiles at me, I am feeling very good. So he was mentioning that, so you come to the conclusion that, oh, then, I will associate with this person because he smiles at me and I like it. He says that's not a big understanding, realization. He says the deeper understanding would be, because I feel
like
happy when someone smiles at me, let me make other people happy by smiling at them or whatever. Seeing other people's distress and happiness as one's own distress and happiness, he says that that is topmost yogi. Sa yogi paramo mataha. Okay.
So, here
so yeah. So then, that's how he ends this whole section of Yoga Rukshupram to Yoga Ruda, and then the quality, the realization of a person at the stage of Yoga Ruda. And then Arjuna presents his doubts. He says, Yoyam Yogas Tvaya Prokta Samyena Madhusudana Yetasyaham Na Pashyami Chanchalatvat Stitim Stiram. He says that this yoga of equanimity, Samyena, that you have presented, he says that Stitim Stiram,
I don't think it can be lasting long. For some time I can be equal, but do you think when Yudhishthira and Duryodhan come in front of me, I can be equal to them? So why? Chanchalatvad. Because of the fickle nature of mind, I think that this Yoyam Yogas Tvaya Prokta Etasyaham na Pashyame, I don't see it Stitim Stiram, stable. It's not very sustainable. I don't think that these feelings can be sustained over a long time. Jeevika? Kya hai?
Sustainability.
It is not sustainable, he says. Why? Chanchalam hi manakrishna pramati balavadridam tasyaham nigraham manni vayorivasu dushkaram. Because of the nature of mind, the mind is chanchala, fickle. Pramati means prakrishta rupena mathan. It is really agitating, like you churn a buttermilk. Balavad, and it's very strong, and dhridam, it is very firm and stubborn. Therefore, tasya nigraham, to control it, vayoriva sudushkara. I consider controlling this mind is more difficult than controlling a raging wind. So, yeah.
Shavanam Guru was saying that chanchalam and dhridam are exactly opposite, actually. Chanchalam is very
fickle.
And dhridam is very fixed.
Firm.
They were saying how to reconcile this is that chanchalam is when we want to fix it on some good object, then it becomes
chanchala.
And when we want to relieve it from some bad thing, because Grudam holds on that bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It
becomes
a good object, it is
pickle.
Bad objects,
spiritually.
Yeah.
And
then,
yeah.
It becomes Grudam.
That's why it is. Anukulyasya chanchala, pratikulyasya drida. Like that. So, here, both Prabhupada and Vishnu Chakritakur, they present this argument. They say, what do you mean? Can't it be controlled by the intelligence? The Shastras present this analogy of the chariot, in that the horses are the senses, the reins the mind, the charioteer is the intelligence, the chariot is the body and the travelling passenger is the soul. So the definitely the controller of the reins is the charioteer. So with discriminating intelligence, one should be able to control the mind. So why do you say like this? So he says that no, the mind is pramati, harasser. He harasses even the intelligence. So yesterday we were discussing on this point. How does mind harasses the intelligence? So mind, intelligence says, oh see, this is what the Shastras say. So mind says, and this is theory. I will present experience. Experience is more powerful than mere theory. So he says, so he presents the impressions. Through past impressions, he presents, the mind presents experience. And when you compare experience and theory, certainly experience is quite powerful, enticing and convincing. So, therefore he says that he harasses the discriminating intelligence. Balavat, very strong. Impressions are quite strong. So, therefore it is mentioned that, what is that verse? He says that Haranti Prasabam Manaha. Not that, second chapter. Even the most intelligent people,
Indriyani Pramati
Haranti Prasabam Manaha. But what is the starting of that?
This, like the wind carrying the boat.
Boat, that is another. Yada Samharate Chayam Kurma. No, it is not that. Not. Anyway, but it says that even the most knowledgeable person.
Yata
कौन्तेय पुरुषस्य विपश्चितः इन्द्रियाणि प्रमातेनि हरन्ति प्रसभं मनः. पुरुषस्य विपश्चितः, इवन दो ही माइट बी वेरी इंटेलिजेंट बट स्टिल एक्सपीरियंस इज ऑलवेज स्ट्रॉन्गर. प्रत्यक्ष इज स्ट्रॉन्गर देन शब्द व्हेन इट कम्स टू कन्विंसिंग. सो इवन दट शब्द इज सस्टेनेबल ओनली व्हेन दट विच manages to become pratyaksha. Otherwise, that shabda becomes weak. The faith in shabda becomes weak if that shabda is not transforming to pratyaksha. So, on the level of mind. So, therefore, he says that balavat, it's very strong and dridam, very firm. Like iron, it cannot be pierced by discriminating intelligence. Needle certainly has the ability to pierce, but it cannot pierce anything. It cannot pierce an iron bar or iron rod. He says that discriminating intelligence is like a needle, and mind with endowed with all the impressions of experience is like a strong iron bar which a needle can certainly not pierce. Like that he says.
Therefore, the shabda praman, many times they also, while seeing this, I am trying to see this. The shabda praman, many times they will, what do you say, reformulate or rename the experiences.
Yeah.
Like right now we are thinking experience was good, or bad experience was good. So the shabda will rename that experience as bad. Like for example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Sukhakari Mane Vishaya Vishaya Mahapida. It's like, although it is, Vishaya and Mahapida, you think that it is that. It's like,
rechristening.
Huh? I mean, it's like,
renaming is rechristening. मतलब इट इज लाइक देयर इनिशिएशन
री इंटरप्रेटिंग देयर
चेंजिंग द पैराडाइम शिफ्ट द पैराडाइम पुल द रग आउट ऑफ हियर
Because they are
more or less the same.
In bhakti, it is like purification of mind, best way of controlling
mind. The purification is the main thing. Purification is the means to control. Even in Ashtanga Yoga or Jnana Yoga, purification of the mind is the means to control.
That is done through Nishkama Karma.
But the means to purify changes from yoga to yoga. The means to purify is Nishkama Karma Yoga in either Ashtanga or Nishkama Karma or Jnana Yoga. But in Bhakti, it is Bhakti Yoga itself which purifies. But the means to control, eventually everyone has to control, but the means to control is purification. The means for purification varies from practice to practice.
And even the definition of purification, like for a Jnani, he will say purification means like mind is focused on the what is permanent and it becomes more specific.
Charge.
Like for yoga it is like mind fixing on Paramatma.
For
bhakti, purification of mind is serving Krishna.
Which means remove the unfavorable impressions and fill it with the favorable impressions. Okay, so this is where we ended yesterday. So now Krishna is going to answer this, because we had few devotees coming
after a long time. We had a long weekend. I think more or less.
Yes.
No, I have one more doubt.
Okay, go ahead.
Mind is false ego in goodness, no? Product of false ego in goodness.
Product of false ego in goodness, yeah.
And intelligence is product of false ego in righteousness. How can, why its hierarchy is like, as you said, intelligence is supposed to control the mind, not dictate to the mind, is it?
See, it has nothing to do with just because mind is born out of the false ego and mode of goodness does not mean mind is in mode of goodness itself. It depends on what kind of impressions it is filled with. That colors the mind. If there are a lot of rajoguni impressions, that mind is rajasic only. If the mind is filled with a lot of sattvaguni impressions, it is sattvic, like that. So, therefore, not in that sense. But for a person who has learned the trick of not acting on the platform of likes and dislikes by taking the higher guidance of scriptures, for him intelligence has become the controller. So it is not a universal thing. Indriyanam hi charatam yanmano anuvidiyate tadasya harati pragyam vayurnavam ivambasi. That is the natural hierarchy. 99.99% of the people fall in that hierarchy, where sense objects control the senses, senses control the mind, mind controls the intelligence, and intelligence pulls the soul down. But for one who has managed to learn the art of yoga or achieve perfection in it, either bhakti yoga or ashtanga yoga, for such a person, intelligence is controlling the mind, mind controls the senses, senses control the sense objects. But for practitioners, as we saw, it's a very dynamic hierarchy.
Yeah, just Buridan Prabhu, just he said, he mentions from the exit of Bhagavad Gita, and he said actually mind, intelligence, all zero and chitta, actually they are one subtle body.
Yeah.
And by function, like then that same subtle body functions as sankalpa, vikalpa, liking and disliking, we call it mind. When that discriminates, we call it intelligence. When it identifies, we call it
false ego.
When it consciously aware
awareness
of something, then we call it
chitta.
So like that, it's like something like soft. I thought it like you know, when computer one so, there is one so, master software, but then one module functions another. I mean controls another module. You know, like you know, subroutine or something. You know, one subroutine calls for another subroutine. But actually the software is, there is hardware which is gross and software which is so subtle. And in that, you know, there is one function controlling another function.
Yeah.
So like that mind controls sometimes intelligence controls mind.
Yeah.
Based
yeah.
on how we program it.
Yeah, based on how we program it, right. Okay. Okay, so now we have how much time left? We have about 10 minutes left. So at least let's try to complete one verse for today. We are not like in rush. We are not in a rush. Okay. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyase Natu Kaunteya Vairage Nasakrityate. This is O Mahabaho. Asamshayam. No doubt. This is the first response of Krishna. No doubt. You are right. Manaha durnigraham. The mind is certainly very, very difficult to control. Chalam. And it's very fickle. But it is not impossible. Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. It can be controlled by abhyasa and vairagya. Abhyasa means repeated practice. And vairagya means detachment. So therefore he says that it seems impossible, but I certainly accept that it is difficult, but it is not impossible. That is Krishna's presentation. So even though ultimately Krishna wants Arjuna to fight, and Krishna wants Arjuna to fight as a devotee. Okay. Even though
Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight because hatova prapsisi swargam jitvava bokshase mahim. On the level of karma kanda, he says that you fight. If you win, you will get the kingdom. If you lose, you will go to swarga. Okay. He could have agreed and fought, but he raises him. If you fight, being detached from the fruits, you can achieve liberation. It is nishkama karma. Then he says that lokasangraha mevapi sampashyan kartum arhati. Even if you think you have reached the stage of jnana, still if you fight, it will set the right example for other people. And then he says that fight because it pleases me. Okay. So there are various levels at which Krishna is recommending Arjuna to fight. So, Mamanusmara Yudhyachari. But ultimately he wants Arjuna to fight on the level of being a devotee. So it would have been all the more easier for Krishna to say, yes, you are right, it is impractical. That's why I am telling. So he could have started the 7th chapter right here. Yes, you are right, and next chapter, therefore I say, practice Bhakti Yoga. 7th chapter could have started here, but he says, no doubt it is difficult, but it is not impossible. Same thing Kapila Dev also does in the third canto, when Devahuti says that, what is this? This, I don't think this is practical. This doesn't seem practical. You think liberation is possible through this kind of yoga? I don't think so. Kapila Dev should... There is this paraspara mutual bondage, affinity. So he could have told that, yes, you are right, therefore only bhakti works. You know, it would have been so much more easier. She had presented all the arguments. She was willing to agree. She had already mentioned that I want to practice bhakti only. So it would have been all the more easier. But he says, let me clarify. If you practice like this, then bhukta bhoga parityakta drishta dosha cha nityashah neshvarasya ashubham datte svemahimni sritasya. For such a person who is situated in his own glory by practicing in this way, he elaborates on that. He says maya will not touch such a person. Liberation is guaranteed. So even though Kapila Dev does not want Mother Devahuti to practice jnana yoga or ashtanga yoga, and here also, though Krishna wants Arjuna to fight, but he wants Arjuna to fight as a devotee. So, he could have as well said, yes, this is exactly what I am trying to tell you, that it actually doesn't work. But he doesn't do that. He elaborately explains why it works. This is neutral presentation.
And even he doesn't want to, the process is there. Discredit another, because there are adhikaris for ashtanga yoga, adhikaris for
So, therefore, for those who are qualified for it, for those who do not have the adhikar, those who have not had the opportunity to meet devotees, get favorably transformed by that association of devotees, so at least they should be following something which is within the Vedic realm, with conviction. So the same reason, recently Radhika Valla Prabhu, the class he was giving, the same point we were discussing, that why do some Puranas talk about demigods being the supreme? This is purposefully. Krishna has put it there on purpose. But when a Vaishnava reads it, he doesn't read it that way. Vaishnavacharya is commenting on various, like recently Laghu Bhagavatamrita we were seeing, where the Shambhu Tattva is described. The Shambhu Tattva means Sadashiva. In that sense, Sadashiva, who is said to glance on Prakriti, impregnate her and all that. He says that that actually is Mahavishnu only. He says. So he says, but that verse says he is Neelakanta. He says that is because he has a blue stone on his neck. The Kaustubha Mani. Kantam cha Kaustubha Mani Adibhushanartham. Then he says, oh no, no, it says three nayanas. He has three eyes. He says, oh, that just means he can see past, present and future. So, this is the verse. When a person who wants to worship Lord Shiva, when he sees this verse, he says, oh, clearly Shiva is the creator. He says, that's exactly what I am telling. Shiva is the creator. Why? Yo yo yam yam tanum bhaktam shraddayar chitum ichyati tasya tasya chalam shraddam tameva vidadamya. Because according to the modes that he has accumulated, he is having shraddha on Lord Shiva. So Krishna does not want to break that shraddha. He strengthens that shraddha. How? Through the scriptures only. He will show him verses which establish that actually Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when a Vaishnava sees it, he doesn't see it that way. He sees it through the eyes of Vaishnava Acharyas who explain properly.
It is mentioned also at one place, like as we mentioned, the three Nayana, and referring to Vishnu. So it is mentioned actually all the names belong to Vishnu only. And Vishnu courteously, allows Shiva to have the names three Nayana Shiva. Allows Surya to have the name Surya. Allows Agni to have the name Agni. Because he said, original meaning of Agni is Agri Nayati, that is Vishnu only.
So, primary attribution and secondary attribution. So, primarily all names are attributed only to Vishnu. Secondarily,
only few names like Narayan he reserves for himself. But other names he can be sometimes don't end up. In a sense, secondarily.
Yeah, secondary names he allows. So therefore he says that abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. So if by abhyasa and vairagya it is actually possible to control the mind. So the same point. So therefore this is actually neutral presentation. So neutral presentation means giving the credit that it deserves. Because if you don't do it, and people can very easily sense bias, and when they sense bias, they will distance themselves from us. But if you give a neutral presentation, then that really helps them. The process is authentic, but we may present it in a non-authentic way by unnecessarily demeaning and discrediting the other processes, that Vedas. Yeah. And in fact, that is actually Shruti Shastra Ninda. To blaspheme the Vedic scriptures and scriptures in pursuance of Vedic worship. To think that the Vedic scriptures, to think all the Vedic scriptures are relevant for me, that is improper understanding. But to think that the Vedic scriptures, apart from bhakti, all other scriptures are not relevant for anyone, it is Shruti Shastra Ninda.
Therefore, actually, I have mentioned that one should speak also, even when, based on audience's capacity to grasp the truth.
Yeah.
If I presented something, to wrong audience also, that is also kind of.
Yeah. That is the ninth offense, na? To instructing a faithless person about the glories of the Holy Name. So that is the ninth offense. First you have to create the faith and then present it. But without creating the faith, if you just keep on loading that person.
And with wrong misunderstanding also.
Some aspects, yeah.
And again, some Vedas are meant for some. So, criticizing Vedas will be...
So, he says that, the Acharyas say that, if all Vedas are Traigunya Vishaya, then how would you establish the potential, how would you establish the supremacy of bhakti? So, Shastra Yonitva. Okay. So, if the whole Shastra was Traigunya Vishaya, then how would you present the supremacy of Bhagavan, supremacy of Bhakti and everything?
Like
even that. As you mentioned, even the Traigunya Vishaya Veda should not be
understood.
Yeah, yeah. It should not be understood to be the
but
topmost.
Neutrally presented.
Neutrally presented.
Okay, this picture talks about those who want to solve that.
So I share this. So last few years back when we had gone for book distribution in Chennai, so we used to go to the company and have a presentation about some topic, you know, so that is attractive to them. Basically same presentation, but then we will have like various topics, choose one and then give the same presentation like that. So maybe 2-3 presentations we had. So after the presentations, you know, they would have a question answer session. They would ask various questions and, you know, question answers. So someone asked, so you mean to say the Bhagavad Gita tells that we should not eat meat? I say 700 verses, yes, 700. Go through them. Not in one verse Krishna says that you should not eat meat. What he says is, if you eat this, this will be the consequence. So whatever consequence attracts you, you can eat that kind of food. So that's exactly what the scriptures also say. So scriptures do not say yatechasi tatha kuru. That is the ultimate
consequences.
Now you do what you want like that. So anyway, Krishna here says that Abhyasena tu kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate. We'll just okay. At least Krishna Jagadakur's commentary we'll see, and then we'll end here. Tomorrow we'll continue. Accepting what Arjuna has said, Krishna gives a conclusion. What you have said is certainly true. But though a disease may be very serious, by taking the right medicine according to the doctor's prescription repeatedly, after a long time the disease actually gets cured. Because the example that was given there was, mind is like a very chronic disease which does not respond to medicines. He says, no, it may not immediately respond, Krishna says, but if you take the right medicine continuously for a long time, that disease can also be subdued patiently. Similarly, though the mind is difficult to control, it is possible to control it by repeated practice according to the direction of the Guru. By constant application of the process of meditation on the Supreme Lord, that is Abhyasena, and by dissociation from the objects of enjoyment, Vairagyena. Patanjali says in his sutras, Abhyasa Vairagyabhyam Tad Nirodha. Means Chitta Vritti probably. How Chitta Vritti Nirodha happens? Abhyasa Vairagyabhyam. The mind is controlled by the practice, by practice and detachment. Since you defeated many great warriors in battle, O Mahabaho, and even defeated Lord Shiva, can you not defeat the mind? So that's what he says. If you are able to defeat the soldier called the mind by the weapon of the great process of yoga, then you can be called Mahabaho. O Kaunteya, you should not fear, as you are the son of my aunt Kunti. It is proper that I help you. Like that. So we will end here, and tomorrow, same time, 12:45, we'll continue the discussion. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki.
Unbiased.
Yeah.
So, even many of the critics say that you present Bhakti Bhakti Bhakti. You don't present unbiased.
So that is why we should not, matlab we should see when you, a very attentive presenter who is really concerned about the message reaching the other person would be very attentive to the response. How he is responding to certain, the way in which you are presenting certain facts. When you sense a kind of reservation, repulsion, then you should understand that you should package it in a slightly different way, which can be agreeable and acceptable to the person.
Just going to
Vara,
person who was Asaram Babu's
follower.
But then he kind of lost him and now he wants to be initiated in his path. So, so he was saying that, oh, I'm chanting my old mantra also, is it possible I can continue? So he was desperately asking. So I said, no problem, just start chanting Hare Krishna. So then he said, next time I am at a mantra. I chanted the old mantra one mala and now I have started chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra four mala.
Even though it is right, but
na buddhi vedam
janayet. Exactly. In that na buddhi vedam janayet, in that commentary, Shri Vishnu Vedagur says that even bhakti yogis should not trouble or confuse the minds of these practitioners who are attached and give them bhakti. He says that if you can give the shraddha,
they will take
then give shraddha, then give bhakti, then you shake his mind. So first give him shraddha, then give him bhakti. Otherwise, without giving shraddha, don't pull the rug. He will be chinna brahmi vanashyati. He will be like a raven cloud.
Not here, not there.
Which is what Arjuna is going to tell.
Yeah, actually he will take the same
meditation. Yeah.
At least
hey, sab log yaar. Aisa hi hai. So that's exactly what Krishna also wants to do when it comes to demigod worshippers. I will give you faith and when you worship them, I will give the result also. Everything I will give. But I will ensure that you have faith in me. And I will send some devotees also,
yeah,
so that slowly
yeah,
you can get it.
Somebody was asking me also, no, Krishna is only giving faith on demigods, what is the chance for that person to come to Krishna? So like you mentioned, devotees will also come. Try to preach also.
Srila Prabhupada's presentation on Gita and Bhagavatam, because he was creating faith by his example, that's why he could give this.
Oh, if someone manages to read that book, that is not the only thing Prabhupada does, no? Bashing demigod worshippers, bashing so many other things. First thing, looking at the book itself, he'll be impressed. So many volumes. And the people, person who is selling the book to him, and the ambience and everything, and the illustrations.
And he will not land direct on that verse. Before that, there are six chapters, right? Before he condemns the demigod worship. Oh, yeah, seven chapters he condemns.
Yeah, wherever, whichever book it may be, he will look at the illustrations and all that. All that is creating some favorable impressions, which will sort of pad all the. You know,
cushion.
It will cushion the. If you notice him, if you notice that person, then you tone down and
present
it in that that way. It's not that we have to dump all that we have.
Basically, we speak you know, to connect to Krishna and automatically they will slowly realize other things. Like, you know, they may not have given emphasis on this, but like,
yeah,
Krishna, why Krishna is presenting is finally he wants to connect the soul to himself. And then this is just a very, let's say, or the secondary part of that is, you know, okay, don't worship them. Primarily, as you said, create Shraddha first, like, okay, this process works. Automatically detachment from other processes will follow, naturally follow. emphasize that as the main goal. Mm. Okay, detaching that fellow from David, that is the main goal.
First, we don't have to detach and then attach.
Yeah.
In detaching him from demigods, he will detach himself from your association only. He is worshipping the demigod because he has that spiritual IQ for worshipping demigods, which means he is
serious.
Shraddha. Spiritual IQ means Shraddha. So, wo Shraddha ko aisa shake nahi karna chahiye. Let him have that Shraddha and let him have that Shraddha, but at the same time you create taste for bhakti. Thank you, Madhav Gopal Prabhu, for your valuable.
My mind is so fickle that I cannot, read so much and study the way it is presented.
You cannot do, no one can do. You are the only person who does.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, the party is important for me to be
एक लाइन भी समझता नहीं हूँ. अच्छा लगता है. ओह यस यस ऑफ कोर्स लेट्स डू इट.
थोड़ा सा
okay. Yeah, how do I open it? Narasimha Kavacham. Oh, acha. So this is English, kidhar hai? Roman, na? Hey, your connection was interrupted. Reload karo, okay?
Main bahar ja raha hoon.
Bahar ja raha hoon. आपका ये भी नहीं है बैटरी भी नहीं.
Only your proportion is universal.
the hair can be less because there is women have so much hair in front of it. Krishna's hair till shoulder.
You know, I'm telling you, I've got all the feelings. You know, last year.
Yeah, yeah. So, Madhumadhu, what kind of a knife is this?
अरे मुझे कुछ क्वेश्चन पूछे थे ना क्लास में, आने के पहले आपको भूल ही है
क्या?
There are these presiding deities of mind, intelligence, all Sigula, moon, Brahma, Shiva, and then there is four Antakarnas or four worshipable deities. So what is the, is like in purified state you worship them and in